Okay, let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we come to your word this morning, Lord, we just want to just hear your voice so clearly, Lord, and we just ask that you will speak through me this morning, Lord, and that you will reveal truths to us, Lord, that you will and that your truths will shape and transform our lives. We ask this in and through your name. Amen. Okay, so this is the fourth of five talks that we have entitled Five a Day. So, you know, there's that whole drive in our culture at the moment that you're to have your five a day of fruit and veg. And apparently a packet of Starburst doesn't count. But there's a big drive for how much we have. And me and Mike were talking about this and thinking, well, what spiritually are kind of the five fruits or the five things that we need, and we came up with really feeling that for us that there are some basics that we should know. So we've had a Steve Hebden come and talk about God the Father and the Father heart of God and his love for us and how we can relate to him and how he relates to us as a heavenly Father. And we've then looked at Sam spoke about Jesus, who he is and what that means, and Adrienne has spoken on the Holy Spirit. So the fourth talk is we're going to be looking at the Bible. So Psalm 119 is the longest of the Psalms, but you'll be relieved to know that we're only actually going to look at the first 16 verses today, and its theme and focus is God's Word. And it says this: blessed are those whose ways are blameless, who walk according to the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep his statutes and seek him with all their heart. They do nothing wrong. They walk in his ways. You have laid down precepts that are to be fully obeyed. Oh, that my ways were steadfast in obeying your decrees. Then I would not be put to shame when I consider all your commands. I will praise you with an upright heart as I learn your righteous law. I will obey your decrees. Do not utterly forsake me. How can a young man keep his way pure? By living according to your word. I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. I have hidden your word in my heart that I may not sin against you. Praise be to you, O Lord. Teach me your decrees. With my lips I recount all the laws that come from your mouth. I rejoice in following your statutes, as one rejoices in great riches. I meditate on your precepts and consider your ways. I delight in your decrees. I will not neglect your word. So, what is the Bible? Well, it is the bestseller of all time. It is the most shoplifted book in the world. About 50 Bibles are sold every minute. So that means by the end of our service today, 4,500 copies of the Bible will have been sold, and who knows how many stolen. So what makes it so good? What makes it worth nicking? I could, you know, probably most people could think of better things to nick from a shop. Well, many passages in the Old Testament begin with this declaration. They say, thus says the Lord. And this was like a royal decree that a king would make. This is something that was to be carried out without challenge or without question. In the New Testament, Paul says in 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. The message that we seem to get is that all the words of the Bible are God's words. They are from God. Therefore, to disbelieve or disobey them is to disbelieve or disobey God himself. I just want to say that again and let that sink in, because that really hit me when I read that. If all the words of the Bible are from God, if they are God's words, which the Bible says, And as a Christian, I believe. Therefore, to disbelieve or disobey them is to disbelieve and disobey God himself. Has anyone ever asked you the question, or maybe you've asked it yourself, what is the key to true happiness? What is the root of true happiness? Well, the writer in this psalm answers that question. And he answers it straight off the bat, no messing about. He says in verse 1, blessed are those whose ways are blameless, who walk according to the law of the Lord. Blessed are those whose ways are blameless, who walk according to the law of the Lord. Big question, what is happiness? Been debated throughout time, philosophers, people write books on it, people make movies about it. And yet, the Bible says it's so simple. The key to true happiness is doing the will of God revealed in his word. True happiness is doing the will of God revealed in his word. But the psalmist knows what we're like. The psalmist knows what he is like. And verses 4 to 6, he says this. You have laid down precepts that are to be fully obeyed. Oh, that my ways were steadfast in obeying your decrees, that I would not be put to shame when I consider your commands. He knows that our very nature is rebellious. Our very nature is to not want to follow rules. We hate rules, commands, decrees, and laws. And he also knows that we're not, as Mike was saying this morning, there is nothing that we can do that is going to match up to God's standard. And when we look at it, in today's culture, it might seem quite negative what he's saying. It might feel like really it's a bit of a one-way street. God says it, do it, obey it. That's it, no question. But the fact is that the words that the psalmist are using are known as covenant words. And it's about God's covenant with us. And when we look at it from through those eyes, we begin to see it in very different ways. Because God's covenant isn't a one-way street, it's a two-way street. What is declared in God's covenant is his commitment to us. He is saying, I am your God, you are my people. And what we read as laws, we suddenly realize through God's covenant are not things that we need to strive towards. They're not a standard to pass. Once we meet that standard, then we are acceptable in God's presence. They're actually a way of showing our gratitude to God for his covenant, that he has chosen us as his people, that he loves us through his covenant, that he is willing to accept us and love us and forgive us through Jesus. So actually this psalm, rather than it being this one-way street that says, this is what God says, so obey it, do it, actually becomes a two-way thing, that we realise that because God loves us so much, because he sent his son for us, that we actually come to this psalm not kind of looking at it as laws, but actually coming from a heart of gratitude, that almost this psalm should be sung as a worship to him, sung to a God who shows us amazing grace. And the psalmist goes on and begins to reveal really one of our biggest challenges. And one of our biggest challenges is actually it's our head versus our heart. We live in an amazing time in history, if you think about it, that we have access to great Bible notes, that we have good translations of the Bible. There's Bible dictionaries, there are great Bible teachers in this era and great Bible preachers. There's all kinds of online material that you can look back to some of the great preachers and teachers of times gone by. There is interactive and multimedia Bible aids. There are Bible conferences that you can go to. There has probably never been a greater time in history where we could actually access and understand God's word better. But actually, the psalmist realizes that our greatest problem isn't understanding what the Bible says. Our biggest problem is actually doing what it says. And the psalmist says in verse 9 that he longs to keep his way pure. And it is all, from verse 9 to the end, it is all about the heart. Growing in godliness isn't about how much of the Bible we know, but actually it's whether we allow God through his Holy Spirit to penetrate our hearts in what he says through the Bible. You know, don't get me wrong, it's good to read our Bibles more. It's great to discuss it with one another, maybe in life groups. It's good to even, for those of you who do, to take notes in sermons. All of this is good, but if it just remains head knowledge, then it's almost like an academic exercise. Isn't about how much you know or understand about the Bible. It's actually how much you allow that knowledge and that understanding to affect your heart. The distance between the head and the heart physically is a short distance. Spiritually, at times it can be massive. For those of you who've been coming to the church for a long time, you'll hear Mike often speak about coming to university. And he speaks about realizing that he knew about God and not God. And the transformation that went on in his life and his Christian walk with God when he realized that. Growing in godliness is about letting the word change our thinking and penetrate our hearts so that our wills can be changed. We should be transformed when we come to God's word. Because we all know that God's word can go in one ear and out the other. The important thing is that our heart becomes involved. And I have to say, one of my inspirations for still getting up here, one of the reasons that I love heading up the teaching team, is I have an absolute belief that God's living word transforms lives. And I absolutely believe if we continue to preach it properly, okay. And don't get me wrong, there's times where sometimes I sit and I think, you know, did that 5 weeks even make a difference to anyone? I don't know if it did. But I believe in my heart that if we continue to preach and stay true to God's word, then God's word transforms lives. But if you're anything like me, anything that takes serious time in my life usually is the first thing that I cut out. Because life is busy, life pushes out. Anything that takes a good amount of time, the hecticness of life usually pushes that out. So when I wake up each morning and I've got that ever-increasing to-do list, sometimes it just seems good if I read my Bible. You know, it seems an achievement sometimes. Sometimes, you know, I drive to work and I'm pretty pleased with myself because I read my Bible that day. I found that time. Well done, me. But what I've started to come to read is, to be honest, sometimes I can read it and I don't allow any time for it to penetrate my heart. I read it, I've done it, I've ticked it off. I can feel good today because I have my quiet time. I've done what God's asked. In some ways, it might not have been worth doing it that morning because I've not allowed any time to reflect on it. I've read it, I've done the task. It's just like any job, you know. It's like me driving to go, well done. I got Joshua and Daniel up this morning, I fed them and I dressed them. I did my job. And it can become like that. Because I've not allowed any time for serious reflection or to think about and meditate on what it said or worst of all, maybe I've not even allowed time to actually let God challenge and change my heart. It's just become something to do that actually makes me feel like I'm a little bit more of a better Christian. And really reading these verses, I began to realize that that isn't what God wants. God wants so much more when we come to his word. And I know that probably because I get up and preach and because I head up the teaching team, you have that view of me that I love God's word and I'm probably in it all the time. But I'm going to be really honest with you, and it's very rare that I'll actually share difficulties at the front because I don't know whether it's always that helpful or saying that. But I've found it so hard to read the Bible since summer. Since my mum's died, I've found it really hard to come to God's word and read it. And I don't believe it's by chance that God gave me this sermon, gave me this topic months ago when we planned it, because I think God really wanted to speak to my heart and say, come on, there's so much more that I want for you in coming to my word and to speak to you. But when we allow time to dwell on the truths that we read in the Bible, it's then that we start to allow them to become part of our DNA, to become part of who we are. The whole Christian walk is actually about becoming more like Jesus, being transformed every day to be more like Jesus. But I started to think about, what does that look like? Because it's a bit weird. If I say to you, you know, so this week, go and meditate and reflect on God's word. What does that look like? You know, does that involve joss sticks and humming in a room with your legs crossed? If it helps, maybe. I don't think it is. I think meditating on God's word is allowing time to consider it, to consider what you've read. Working out why something God says is right and true, even if at first you can't see it. And this might be one of the hardest things. Sometimes you come to the Bible, let's be honest, we come to parts and we're like, that doesn't sit easy with me. I find that difficult. I don't know if I understand that. But working out why what God says is right and true, even if at first we can't see why, all the more, that is, for me, that's kind of the big thing that says all the more that's a time to spend thinking about that. The things that we get straight away and the truths that we can readily accept are great, but if something comes up and you're like, I really don't find that hard to see why that's right and true, or why God says that about that or this, or why God's saying that about my situation, then spend time thinking on that. Pray over it. Pray over what you've read. Think carefully how it changes what you think and how you live. And lastly, apply it to your life and the decisions you make. So to meditate on God's word is to consider it, to work out why something God says is right and true, to pray over it, to think how it changes the way you think and the way you live, and then to apply it to your life. And this can only happen if we make time for it. And believe me, I'm saying that more to me than I am to you. So he asked the question at the beginning of verse 9, how can a young man keep his ways pure? By living according to your word. I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. I have hidden your word in my heart that I may not sin against you. Praise be to you, O Lord. Teach me your decrees. With my lips, I recount all the laws that come from your mouth. I rejoice in following your statutes as one rejoices in great riches. I meditate on your precepts and consider your ways. I delight in your decrees. I will not neglect your word. I don't know whether at the beginning of the year you set New Year's resolutions. I set the same two every year. I always set to get healthier. And I always promise myself that this year I'm going to spend more time with God. Could you find an extra half an hour to spend just thinking and praying about something God that has said to you in this coming week, either through your reading or through this sermon? Could you find just half an hour to spend just meditating, considering, praying, and applying what God has said to you? If the Bible is God-breathed, how should this affect our attitude to what it says? If the Bible is the Word of God, how should it affect our attitude to what it says? And is your Bible time at the moment more about head than heart? And what could you do to make sure that it's the latter, that when we come to God's word, that it is about the heart, it's about penetrating the heart and changing and transforming us? There is no other book in the world that can do what the Bible does, because it isn't just a book. It isn't human wisdom. And you know, you only have to walk into Waterstones and look at the self-help section, and it is full of human wisdom. There is no other book, because there is no book that is inspired by God. It's God's word, and inspired, and works through us, the Holy Spirit working through it. It's so easy to slip into it just being an exercise and head knowledge and something that makes us feel like we are being better Christians. But I really believe that God wants so much more for us when we come to his word. And yes, sometimes we come and it doesn't rock our world that day. Sometimes it's dry. Sometimes you read something and you think, I just completely don't get that. I don't even know why offering three doves is relevant to my life. But there is power in God's word. And some passages that I've sometimes looked at first glance, thought I haven't got a clue, and then I've gone away and done a bit of study on it, suddenly have spoke to me the most in my life. And one of the great things is when we're in God's word, it means that we can share God's words with other people. And even though I've found it really hard since summer to read God's word, because of a guy who was actually my youth leader, a guy called Hedge in Manchester, because he was in God's word, he gave, he'd been studying Revelation, and he gave me this word, and if nothing else, it's what I've held on to since then. It says that we go to a place where there are no more tears, no more pain. And I know for me that those words have and still continue to be words of comfort. Let's pray.